Our concentration here in this meditation is on the revealed mystery of Christian chastity. Every word there counts. Last month, I gave a series of 5 days of lecture in the Washington area on Christian chastity. I wish we had what I had there, 10 hours, and a whole week we have, well, almost 50 minutes left in the hour. Notice, we are speaking on the revealed mystery of Christian chastity. The very word chastity came into the world only with the Incarnation. And God could not have, the all-wise God, have emphasized how important chastity will be for His followers, than by making sure, first of all, that His own mother would conceive Him, and talk about a miracle, and conceive her son without carnal intercourse. Then He, as I've been telling people over the years, absolutely speaking, God might have become man, I repeat, absolutely speaking, and have married. But He didn't. Yah therefore became man. And though He was truly human, He lived a life of absolute and not only marital chastity, as His married followers are expected to live, but what we now call consecrated chastity. Except in His case, He was the God to whom others who consecrate their chastity dedicate their lives. It was, hear it, two virtues practiced by the followers of Christ at the dawn of Christianity that converted a pagan world. In case nobody told you, the United States had become a pagan nation. I hope you hear this again. And if America is to be converted, otherwise, as I keep repeating, the days of America are numbered. I hope the United States will survive as a nation to the year 2000. But we're not talking about survival as a nation. You're talking about survival as a Christian nation. If America is to be converted back to the Christianity which it once professed, it will take a national miracle. And that miracle will occur as it did occur, the dawn of Christianity, only of those who still believe in Jesus Christ. And I trust I'm talking to the right audience, who still believe in Christ and in Christianity, are practicing the two virtues that converted the pagan Roman Empire. What are they? Christian chastity and Christian charity. For 300 years, the pagan Romans of the Empire couldn't believe their eyes. Contraception was universal in the Roman Empire. Our Supreme Court did nothing new. Nothing new when it legalized abortion. They simply followed the example of the Senate of Rome that legalized abortion. In the Roman Empire, when a woman gave birth to a child, she was obliged by law to show the baby to the father. He decided whether the baby should be alive. And there was to be, by law, a bucket of water next to the bed to drown the baby if the father did not want it to stay alive. In case you don't know, infanticide is very widespread in our country. Did you know that? It was the heroic chastity of the first Christians that converted the pagans of the first 300 years of the Christian era. I repeat, and I know what I'm doing. I hope I'm talking to the right audience. Either you in your lives, and we priests in our lives, live lives of chastity and hear it. It has to be heroic chastity. No other chastity will remain firm, not in today's United States. No way, no way. Either we then, following our Christian forebears in the early church, have lives of heroic chastity, or we become just further casualties in the paganization of a once Christian America. Back to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Our Lord, remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel, in verse after verse, he is comparing, and mind you, he's not comparing the pagans of his day, but the Israelites, the chosen people, the Jews. Well, they were taught how they were to live. And then, each time he made the comparison, he contrasted what, I repeat, the chosen people of the old law, how they were to live, been down the Ten Commandments here. He is on the sixth and ninth commandment of the Decalogue. You have heard it was told to your ancestors, you shall not commit adultery. Meaning, you are forbidden to steal your neighbor's wife. Adultery under Judaism was not a sin against chastity. It's a crime against justice. Want to prove it? Go back to the Old Testament text of the Decalogue in Exodus and Deuteronomy. What we Catholics call the ninth commandment. A man may not steal. Well, a man's property, his oxen, his cattle, or another man's wife. Then Christ went on, but the most important adverbs in the New Testament, better adverb, is but or however. But I say to you that anyone who even so much as looks with lust at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Do you know that was not the law in the Old Testament? Did you know that? Otherwise, the widespread polygamy would not have been practiced. David, remember, committed a crime. Remember when he had the husband of Bathsheba murdered so he could, well, marry the man's wife. But polygamy was practiced by the patriarchs of the old law. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's pretty hard. What is Christ telling his followers? If a man even looks at a woman lustfully, and I have to say this, and how many American women want men to look at them lustfully. Well, I know I deal with too many men and too many women. And how grateful I am to our Holy Father in commenting on this passage of Matthew, says Pope John Paul II, my dear friends in Christ, the same applies to women. If a woman looks at a man lustfully, she commits adultery with him in her heart. Now, to make sure it was not misunderstood, if your right eye is an occasion of sin, pluck it out. Better get to heaven with one eye than go to hell with two. Or your right hand is an occasion of sin. The two most important sense faculties in the preservation of chastity, the eye and the hand. sight and touch. It's the all wise God teaching his followers that in order to remain chaste according to his principles, we should make any sacrifice of even the precious faculty of sight or of our hands of touch rather than risk the prospect of losing our souls. I said our present meditation is on the revealed virtue of Christian chastity. But Christ goes on. Moreover, he's now addressing himself to married people. It was said, whoever puts away his wife and give her a written notice of dismissal, and then he's free to marry another woman. I've given lectures in Jewish synagogues. I know the Jewish people well. There is no sober and sane Jew in the world who does not believe that you can't divorce your spouse and marry somebody else. But the old law has been superseded with a mild verb by the new law. That's what we're talking about. And God became man. And here again, what the angel told Our Lady of the Annunciation when he assured her that she would conceive a son and remain a virgin, then to strengthen, if I can use the word, her faith. The angel told her, and your kinswoman Elizabeth, up in years beyond childbearing age, and still to begin with, he's nowhere near 6 months. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. To practice Christian chastity is impossible, comma, impossible, comma, impossible, exclamation mark. But recall the prepositional phrase the angel used in speaking to Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. In other words, either we have the grace from God, or we will not preserve ourselves in chastity. And here Christ is speaking of marital chastity. For some people, that's a contradiction in terms. Not for Christ. I say to you, everyone who puts away his wife, except on account of immorality, meaning what? A spouse may be, this is divine law, if a spouse is unfaithful, the innocent party may put away for life the unfaithful spouse, even for one single sin of infidelity. It's divine law. But neither the guilty party nor even the innocent party, even the case of adultery, can enter a valid marriage approved by God. Over the years, especially in the last 20 years, I've been telling one class and audience after another, the Catholic Church will survive only in those countries, those dioceses, those cities where there are still people who believe that those who marry, having been baptized before marriage, entered a valid marriage union, and their marriage was consummated by natural intercourse after marriage, no authority on earth, no pope, no bishop, no conference of bishops can dissolve those marriages. And the church will survive only, I repeat, where there are still Catholics who believe that. We go on. It is not only, therefore, that Christian chastity is to be practiced by those who are not married. Oh, no. Christian chastity is to be practiced by the married. Get yourselves a copy. It's worth it. Get a copy of Pope Pius XI's encyclical. So look at the audience. Some of you were not even born when that was published. Pope Pius XI. The Latin title is Casti Connubii, Chaste Wedlock. The English title is Christian Marriage. Read it. How we need to be reminded of what God became man to teach the world. This is faith. As I've told so many people, most people have no trouble accepting the Trinity. They don't understand it anyhow. Oh, but chastity, oh, that's another story. Christian chastity, I repeat, is a revealed mystery. It is not only humanly inconceivable, unless God had revealed it, but is humanly impossible, even after revelation, unless you have access to constant, and I mean constant, grace. That is why Mother Lecture that I gave, I think it was in Canada this year. Christian matrimony, Christian chastity. Subtitle: Holy Matrimony, Holy Eucharist. With all the grace that comes from prayer, and the grace that comes from the Holy Eucharist, nobody, but nobody, can practice the kind of chastity that Christ requires of both his unmarried and married followers. We therefore ask ourselves, what did Christ want to reveal to the world by demanding of his followers a chaste life so that outside of the sacred precincts, as I call them, of matrimony, not only, and I'm saying this in Chicago, I've got to blink my eyes. I can't believe it. I'm talking in Chicago. I'm talking to people in the city of Chicago, which is one of the two capitals of sex crime in the nation. The other, as you must know, is New York City. We said this will be a retreat of faith. So it is. Faith is what we believe with our minds. Not because we comprehend, but only because God has revealed it. And as the church in defining this said, and we believe in God's word because he can neither deceive nor be deceived. All the faith we need in today's sex-mad America. S-M-A. Sex-mad America. The faith we need to believe of the man who spoke this with human lips, who was heard by human ears, was the living God. And therefore, he must be believed, and what he taught must be followed. I said this retreat will be an open retreat. Some time ago, in a private meeting with the Holy Father's secretary, he asked me, could you recommend seminaries in the United States that are safe for the faith and morality of young men studying for the priesthood? I mentioned five. He said, we know about those. Any others? Any others? I hope there are others, but I don't know about them. Found out, please let us know. Let's be as open as our Lord here in the Blessed Sacrament wants us to be. Nobody is fooling anybody. Unless we believe that the man who pronounced the words we've read, unless we believe that was the infinite God commanding his followers to live lives of chastity in marriage, well, the two grave crimes against chastity in marriage are contraception and infidelity. and outside of marriage, even to deliberately indulge in sexual thoughts, desires, is already. So 2,000 years of the church's history has taught us, hear it, a mortal sin. How I wish I did not have to say it, but I must. A religious community, diocese unnamed, community unnamed, put it under an interdict by the diocese because their way of life did not conform well to the American culture. Required by the authorities in the diocese for their novices to go to a place, spend 6 months there to be trained in American culture, how to be religious in 20th century America. And one of the sisters who survived the experience told me, almost as soon as we got there, we were asked, do you practice masturbation? We said, of course not. We were told to grow up. My God. Is it any wonder there are dioceses now that are selling Catholic churches to the highest bidder? Whatever else Jesus Christ came into the world to teach, and being God in human form, it was to teach us the will of God. That is the most demanding of God's revealed truth, His will. But I must believe, that God became man and laid on His followers, not out of fear, but out of love, such demands on the practice of virtue that even the patriarchs and prophets of the old law, and surely chosen men of God, were expected to practice. Let me tell you, the New Testament is more new than most people realize. But I'm not finished yet. Clearly, the practice of Christian chastity is not only, nor even mainly, the prohibition of indulging in sexual pleasure contrary to the will of God, and I repeat, as revealed by the Son of God become man. At the root of Christian chastity is selfless, absolutely selfless Christian charity. And if we're going to even preserve, not to say grow, in our practice of Christian chastity, we must. You spend a whole meditation just on this subject, just to mention it now. We must grow in our practice of charity. And whatever resolutions you make during the retreat, in the name of our Lord, be sure that you examine your practice of these two virtues. We ask ourselves, how are we to remain faithful in our practice of the Christian chastity revealed by the Son of God? We said it is humanly impossible. That's no cliche. Impossible. Christian chastity is not merely the difficult commandment, it's the impossible commandment. How? All the grace we can get, especially through prayer and the Holy Eucharist. I spent several hours a few days ago where the priest just came back from the Philippines. He showed me the report on the practice of Eucharistic adoration, and he perpetuated Eucharistic adoration in the Philippines. Seventy-two parishes in Manila alone, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We are then to have access to the grace without which we cannot preserve ourselves, not to say grow, in the practice of Christian chastity. But there is more to it than that. Because not only that we need grace, we do, desperately. But we have to cooperate with that grace. Living as we are in the most media-saturated country in the world, he touched on this before. Here, I will spend more time. You for yourselves, you wives for your husbands, you mothers with your children, I beg you to mortify your use of the media. It is impossible to watch everything on television, listen to everything on the radio, read the newspapers and magazines. And my dear friends in Christ, I'm no fool. I'm no pious Joe. And we want to preserve our own chastity and the chastity of your loved ones. You yourselves, and help those whom you love to be very, and I mean very judicious, prudent, careful, wise in your use of the media of communications. Because it is impossible to hear everything hearable, watch everything watchable, read everything seeable, touch everything touchable, and remain chaste. If I could speak, I mean it, for the next 6 weeks, but over the years, St. Ignatius taught us, if there is one virtue we are told to teach others, it is the virtue of chastity. We have rules, how I wish I could pass them around. Rules of modesty, prescribed for over 4 centuries of the sons of St. Ignatius. In a country where exposure is the law of the land, in a country where you can say anything, well, I'm told I have to believe it. There are programs on radio and television. There are books, thick books in print, where you don't read one paragraph without open, even blasphemous obscenity. In other words, besides obtaining grace through prayer and the sacraments, not I, but the Lord tells you, mortify yourselves. Make some decisions during this retreat for yourselves and for those whom you love in the use of the media. Otherwise, all that we're talking about is so much, pardon the language, pious pap. And Christ could not have been clearer. Unchaste people will not reach heaven. I have one more message to share with you in this meditation. I'm speaking to women. Beyond any measure of understanding on your part, the chastity of men is in your hands. Whatever else modesty means, it means many things. It means being always conscious of the effect on others who see me, who hear me. In other words, you women, much more than you will ever know this side of eternity, have the souls of many men, I mean it, in your hands. But it is not only that you would, with all the wisdom that only Christ can give you, practice the modesty which others need to maintain themselves in chastity. It is also, and with emphasis, that your practice of chastity, and no matter what price it may cost you, will make you channels of grace to everyone who enters your life. because it is especially in this virtue that no one can practice it alone. We need not only the example of others, we need especially others who enter our lives, and we therefore enter their lives, so that we are a means of obtaining grace for them to maintain themselves in chastity in a sin-sodden country that has glorified sexual immorality. Lord Jesus, we believe you are the living God who was conceived and born of a virgin mother. We believe that chastity is the single moral virtue which is most demanding on your followers. We need your grace, dear Lord. Not only to remain chaste in our own lives,